requested to come a little bit closer, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa amma ba'd. As we know that today is our monthly Nasiha program, by on the last Saturday of every month or the Sunday, we have a short reminder. And just before we commence with the main talk, inshallah, it's important that we remind ourselves of our intention to sit in a gathering whereby the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be explained, and it's an opportunity for us to look at our life, a certain aspect of our life, and to see how we can improve and benefit and how we can change. And every month we have a different topic, and every month we have a discussion and we hear these words and these advice, this advice, and it allows us to contemplate and think about where we are and what our purpose is and how we are improving, how we are progressing in terms of gaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bringing the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our life. And we know, why is it so important to bring the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our life? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. That one of the ways to show that one loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in return, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you and He will forgive your sins. So the prescription has been given to us in the Quran that if you want to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one of the easiest ways is to bring the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our life. Bring the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our life. And in essence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then love us, and we will then be able to live our life, and we will have this connection, and we'll be able to experience what it means to have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of the Creator. And as we know that the holidays are coming up, and in the holidays it's very easy, because of a lack of timetable, because of a lack of any structure in our life, to derail our progress. When we're at school or college and madrasa, if we go to madrasa, then we have a certain structure in our life. If we are working, we have a certain structure in our life. We wake up at a certain time, we go to school at a certain time, we finish at a certain time, then we go to madrasa at a certain time, we finish at a certain time, and then we come home and we eat and we do whatever we need to do in terms of our work, school work, our madrasa work for the next day. And then the whole routine starts again. And as human beings, we need a routine and we need a timetable. That's what makes us thrive and helps us thrive. And that's what keeps us on track. So in the holidays, it's very easy for a person to regress, the opposite of progression, whereby a person then, because of a lack of structure in his life, will start to do things and he'll start to commit sins potentially and start to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as believers, one of our aims is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the holidays, it's very easy for us, and especially with the distractions that we have the whole world in our pocket, we have a tablet at home, we have a laptop, whatever it may be, the technology that we have, as much as there are some benefits to this technology, there are so many harms that sometimes we overlook because of the fact that we see that all of our friends and everybody is going through that. So in essence, what we need to do is contemplate and think and truly ask ourselves that in these holidays, what am I going to do? And today's topic is to cover the holidays, inshallah, which our respected Imam Sahib Maulana Muhammad Sayyid Sahib will be delivering a talk in regards to that. But our whole purpose today of sitting is, and this is one thing that I want to conclude before we call on our Imam Sahib, is that when we sit here, we're not just sitting here because, you know, our parents have told us to come to the masjid to sit, or because we're just coming because it's the monthly program, there's going to be refreshments after Maghrib Salah, or whatever it may be. Our intention should be that I am going to listen attentively, and I am going to make an intention that whatever is said in this talk, I am going to try and bring this into my life. Bring some change into my life. Even if it's one thing. Even if it's just one aspect of this talk, I'm going to bring into my life. Today is going to be the day that I am going to try and implement. Because nowadays when we sit in a talk, many a times we'll be listen to the stories and we'll... But by the time we leave those two doors, which is a little bit of a walk, maybe a 30-second walk, we'll have forgotten or we'll have sort of overlooked so many aspects. So if we sit with the intention that inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I sit with this intention that whatever I listen to, I'm going to understand, internalize, and try to then bring it into fruition in my life. And then inshallah, if we have this intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist us. And my friends, it only takes an intention. It only takes an intention for things to change and for things to happen. So if we make this intention, and we correct our intention that I want to bring some change into my life because whatever is going to be explained to me is going to bring me closer to my Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah by the time we leave this masjid, we will already feel the benefit of the talk inshallah. So everybody inshallah, myself and we all make intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to bring positive change into our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the whispers of shaitan and our nafs and from the lights and the glamour of the world as such, right? Whereby so many times we get enthralled by certain things and we get encapsulated by certain aspects of the worldly life, which then takes us away and is a means of us turning away from the masjid, turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and assist us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that we make the most of these holidays and we do something productive, something that at the end of the holidays we can think that it was this talk on the 29th of July, whereby, you know, I listened to this talk and it helped me and it benefited me. That's why on September 4th or 3rd or 5th, when we go back to school or college or whatever it may be, university or wherever we may be going, that I did something productive in my holidays. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us all and help us, inshallah. Now, our respected Imam Sahib will be delivering the talk. Jazakallah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعمتان مغمون فيهما كثير من الناس الصحة والفراغ أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الحمد لله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the tawfiq to take out some of our time and sit in the masjid with a good intention, with the intention of listening to the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the intention of benefiting ourselves, with the intention of making the masjid abad, making it occupied. And this is a very great action. This is an action which was taking place from the time of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That advice was discussed in the masjid.
Reminders were discussed in the masjid. And here I would like to mention, because we are just beginning the holidays. And in the holidays, you will see that there will be a lot of programs in many masajid. Almost every weekend, you will see programs. So-and-so program, so-and-so person is coming. Or maybe someone isn't coming, but so-and-so program is taking place. And the purpose of all of them is the same. That we make our time precious. We bring changes into our life. But even when we come to these programs, we need to keep a few things in mind. And the reason we need to keep a few things in mind is that these programs are there for a purpose. They are there so that we can bring improvement in our life. And as we all know, when a person has a purpose, then there is a method to achieving that purpose. If you have the purpose that I want to learn how to drive, then there is a method to this. You will have to find a driving instructor, but that is not enough. After you find the driving instructor, you will have to follow his methodology. You will have to go regularly with him. You have gone 1 week, and next 3 weeks you did not take a lesson with him. Then you turned up again. He himself will tell you after a couple of months that if this is how you are going to come, then there is no point you turning up. When you go on the lesson, you will have to pay attention. You will have to take in what he is saying. If you get the occasional turning off, you will have to bear that as well. All of this is the package. Every person will say that all of this is needed. It is not just me going on the lesson. Similarly, when we take part in dini programs, then there is a package which is needed. What is the package? The first part of the package is our intention. The first part of the package is our intention. That whichever program we take part in with an intention that I want to hear those words that are beneficial to me. I want to hear those words that pinpoint something that is wrong in my life. We should look out for those words. This point has been said. Is it in my life or not? It is in my life, alhamdulillah. It isn't in my life? Okay, I need to bring it into my life. That is the first thing, intention. The second thing, we should come with a desire, a want, a need, that I want to take something away. I want to take something away. We should not come with indifference. Indifference means that I don't really need the words of Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't need words of advice, but I will just go and participate because my friends are going. Oh, I have a bit of time free. No. Come with desire that I want to take something away. That talk where we take something away, that program where we take something away, we should feel happy that I took something away from here. There was this point which is not in my life. I need to bring it into my life. And that talk where we came away with nothing for whatever reason, we should feel disappointed that today I didn't have anything. There is a incident, a very famous incident that occurred between Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun. That Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came, he showed his miracles in front of Fir'aun. He delivered his message that I am a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with a message that you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you obey Him. The oppression that you are carrying out on the people of Banu Israel, you stop it. And then Musa alayhi salam showed his miracles, two miracles. The first was that he threw his staff down and turned into a snake. And the second was that he placed his right hand below his left armpit, and when it came out, it was shining. So these were two miracles which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And Fir'aun, he refused to believe in them. He said that these are magic. And he said that to prove that these are magic, I will bring some sorcerers, some people who are experts in magic, and they will compete against you. And they will compete against you and they will surpass you in magic. And Fir'aun called these magicians. And a date was fixed for the competition. And during that time, Fir'aun sent messengers everywhere to find and pinpoint and select the top magicians, those people who are absolute experts in the field, and to gather them. The day comes. On one side is Musa alayhi salam, one individual. And on the other hand is some people have set into the thousands and tens of thousands of magicians. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sends the Nabi, when He sends the Prophet, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Prophet miracles according to the need of his time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not random that Musa alayhi salam gained the miracle of the staff being turned into a snake. Isa alayhi salam gained the miracle of being able to cure the blind. It is a random distribution, no. In every era, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at in which area are the people progressing? In which area are the people very progressive? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give the Nabi a miracle in that very same field. But a miracle that overpowers all the progress in that area. Let me explain. In the time of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the people of the time had made a lot of progress in treatment and medication. But there were still some illnesses which it was known and it was famous that these illnesses are impossible to treat. Like leprosy, for example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent Isa alayhi salam, what miracle did He give him? One miracle He gave him was the ability to cure those who have leprosy. The ability to cure people who have been born blind, an illness which is impossible to cure. The ability to bring to life someone who is in his grave. So in the same way, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in that time, practice, teaching, expertise in the field of magic, sorcery was very common. There were schools everywhere where sorcerers would be trained. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salatu wasalam miracles which looked like magic. But which, because they were from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had the ability to overcome any form of magic or sorcery. So Fir'aun, he selected thousands against Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And a date was fixed, a time was fixed, and people gathered. And the incident is very well known that the sorcerers came. They said to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that, shall we throw our staffs first or do you want to throw your staff? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, you go first. They threw their staffs down. And through the power of illusion, they made it look like the staffs and the snakes had turned into snakes. So there were thousands of snakes coming towards Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam throws down his staff. Through the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it turns into a real snake. And it swallows every single illusionary snake that is there. Now for a moment, imagine the scene. One against thousands. And in a few moments, the sorcery of the thousands has disappeared. There is absolutely no doubt where Haqq lies, where truth lies, and where batil, where falsehood lies. Absolutely no doubt to anyone who is onlooking. And as a result, thousands accept the fold of Islam. The sorcerers themselves, who came to overthrow Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they fall into sajda and they accept Islam. But Fir'aun, who is looking at all of this, he does not get the tawfiq to benefit from this incident. He doesn't get the tawfiq to accept Islam. What is the reason? The ulama have said that the reason is because Fir'aun, he never had the intention of benefiting. When he brought the sorcerers against Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he already knew that Musa alayhi salam is on haq. But somehow or other, I must overthrow him. I am not prepared to take the message that he wants, that he is given. The sorcerers, they did not come with this mindset. So when haq came in front of them, they accepted it. From this we understand that haq can come in front of a person. The truth can come in front of a person. But if his mindset is not correct, he will not be able to benefit from it. The truth can come so clearly in front of a person. There is not a more clear and a more obvious way that truth comes in front of a person than it came in front of Fir'aun. But he was not able to benefit. So when we come to Dini talks, to listen to the words of Allah and His Rasul, to listen to the words of haq, our mindset also needs to be correct. That what is being said, if it is not in my life, then it needs to become part of my life. So this is one thing which we need to have in our life. And when we come to the talk, then we need to listen carefully. We need to sit with adab, with respect. We need to have reverence. That is why in every Dini talk, or almost every Dini talk, you will hear the words that if there is someone who is leaning against a wall and they don't need to, they should join the gathering. Come closer. One might say that if I am leaning against the wall, if I am sitting at the back of the masjid, what is the difference? I can hear the words. This, my brothers, is not like secular knowledge. It is not like secular knowledge. This knowledge has two aspects. One is the words which are coming out of the mouth of the speaker and they are entering our ears. And the second is a nur which emanates from the heart of the speaker and enters our heart. And the words will enter our ears even if we are sitting at the back of the masjid, even if we are at home listening on the receiver. But the principle is that if you want to benefit from a Dini talk, you need to gain two things. You need to gain the words and you need to gain the nur. And to gain the words, to gain the information, the words have to fall into your ear. Whether you are sitting at the back and talking, whether you are listening at home on the receiver, that is enough. But to gain the nur, there are a few conditions. The first is that if you are able to, you must go into the company of the speaker. It is not sufficient to listen at home. Yes, if a person cannot go for whatever reason, women for people who are ill, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah give them the nur in their homes as well. But otherwise, a person must go into the company of the speaker. Nowadays, especially in these times, in holiday times, when so many talks take place, then you hear so many people saying that I will listen to this talk at home. So remember, you will never gain the true benefit at home that you will gain in the masjid. Because at home you will gain the words. In the masjid you will gain the words and you will gain the nur that comes out from the heart of the speaker. That is the first thing. The second thing, you must listen with reverence. Reverence not because the speaker is someone great. The speaker can be someone who can have less knowledge than you. Reverence because these are the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whether the speaker is an alim, whether he is a non-alim, whether he is from outside or whether he is someone who is local, the words are still the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the second condition. And the third condition, which you can say decides how strong the nur will be, is, and here this is something which in our time needs mentioning. The third thing which will decide how strong the nur will gain, if we come into the company of the speaker with the correct mindset, with the reverence, we will gain the nur, inshallah. But how strong will the nur be? There is something else which should be looked at as well, which is the taqwa and the piety in the speaker. This is extremely important. And the reason this is extremely important is that because in our time, We have become used to finding those speakers whose words, whose talks are very interesting. They are gripping. They fascinate you. If a speaker's talk is so interesting, his style is so eloquent, that he holds you from the first second until the last. And when he finishes, you are there left wishing that I wish the talk was half an hour longer. But he does not have taqwa, he does not have piety in his heart. You may leave the masjid thinking that I have benefited a lot. I have listened to every word. It has an effect on my heart. But long term, there will be no change in your life. The real change comes from that nur. In fact, if that nur is powerful enough, it doesn't even need the company of words. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sirajan munir. He was an illuminating sun, an illuminating lantern. And the nur in his heart was so powerful that whichever sahabi would come into his company, someone who just moments ago was in the depth of kufr, just by coming into his company and feeling that nur for a moment, he would climb the ranks of wilayah and become a special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always created awliya in the ummah, pious people. Nowadays, unfortunately, pious people come and you look in the talks and there are very few people. It is the same people. Whether the talk is happening in Masjid Quba, whether it is happening in Medina Masjid, whether it is happening in Dewsbury, whether it is happening in Batley, you see that it is the same group of people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the understanding that we need to find people of piety. And apart from that, not a single extra person turns up. And when those people come, whose talk is music to our ears, then we come turn up in droves. So if we want to benefit our deen, we need to find the people of piety, find the people of taqwa. And this is something which we need to remember for all of our life. But I am mentioning specifically here because this is in the holiday season, talks happen. And these deeni talks are a very great way of making the most of our time. They give us a boost. Provided we go with the right intention and we choose the correct place to go. If we, look, when we look at someone, we don't know the inside and out, the in and out of his full life. We just look at the person. So, it is possible we think so-and-so person is pious, but he is not pious. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. If we make it a point that we will go to the talks of those people who have piety, who have taqwa, and even if we make a mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure we benefit from that. Benefit is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone is sincere, he looks for the right places, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, will make sure he goes to the right places. And even if he ends up in the wrong place, still somehow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure he benefits. So, this is one thing we need to do in this holiday season. There will be many talks taking place in many different masajid. We need to benefit from them, but we need to benefit from them in the correct manner. And other than that, we need to make it a general purpose to make the most of our time. In the hadith which I was honored to mention in front of you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ni'matan, there are two blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maghboonun feehima kathirun minan nas. Many people are in loss in regards to these. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses the word maghboon. What does maghboon mean? Let me explain to you what maghboon means. Maghboon means a person who is simple-minded. A person who is simple-minded, who is not so intelligent. He goes to a shop. He goes to buy something. And because he is simple-minded, he gets fooled very easily. The item he buys it for double, triple its value. And if any person hears about the transaction, he will think that, bichara, he's made a big loss. The money which he could have bought three of these items for, he has gone and bought one item. This is what maghboon means. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the two blessings of Allah, which the majority of people, a very large number of people, are maghboon. They could do so much with it, but they do so little with it. That is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said these words 1400 years ago. But these words are more so today than in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the two blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the majority of people are in loss with. They can gain so much using these two blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they gain so little. What are these two blessings? The first one, good health. And the second, al-faragh, free time. Good health and free time. Or even better, a combination of both. A person, he has good health, but he doesn't have free time, then he will struggle to do much for his hereafter. And on the other hand, a person, he has time, but he is bedridden. He will also struggle to do much for his hereafter. It is a different matter that person who has used his free time well, who has used his life well, even thereafter he becomes ill. Thereafter he becomes bedridden. Then he gains so much. Why does he gain so much? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that when a person becomes ill, and because due to becoming ill, he is unable to do those things, those a'mal, those good deeds that he used to do, then whilst he remains ill, those a'mal keep being written for him. That means if a person was regular in performing salah in the masjid, and he becomes ill and he is unable to, and he is unable to for 10, 20, 30 years, every single day of those 10, 20, 30 years, coming to the masjid 5 times is still written in his record. The barakah of making the most of your good health is so great that after you lose that good health, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us with afiyah and good health until our last. But if a person loses that good health, the barakah of making the most of his good health carries on with him. This is the first blessing, good health. And the second, time, free time. Just on Tuesday, I was telling the brothers who are in front of me, that this blessing of time in general, how precious is it? You want to understand how precious it is? 2 examples. The first, in one moment of this time, a person who has lived in disbelief for 60, 70 years, and who is on the way to Jahannam, in a moment of this free time, in a few seconds, he can recite the kalima, La ilaha illallah, and wipe out all those sins and step onto the path of Jannah. This is the value of few seconds, that a person can do this much in few seconds. And second example, there is a believer, a mu'min, so he has iman, but he doesn't have amal salih and good deeds in his life. This is something extremely important, which shaitan tries to deceive us in regards to, that iman is very valuable, no doubt about it, extremely valuable. There is nothing that can be compared in value to iman. But if a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him iman, and in this world, he sits there, thinking it is enough, then that is a major error. That is a major error. There is a very famous hadith that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi was out in a garden, as far as I remember. And then some revelation came upon Jibreel alayhi salam, came to him. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu, the revelation finished, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to one of the companions who was near him. And he said to the companion, that go and announce in the people that the person who says La ilaha illallah, meaning the person who has iman, he will enter Jannah. And there is no doubt, the person who has iman will enter Jannah, provided he takes this iman with him into the next life. Then he will enter Jannah. If he does not have obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this iman, he may have to go into Jahannam first. And if he has obedience, then he will go directly into Jannah. But this person will definitely go into Jannah sooner or later. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahabi. And the Sahabi, he left with this intention that I am going to announce this message to the people. On the way, he met Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked him. And this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave this Sahabi his sandals. Why did he give him his sandals? As a sign that this is the messenger of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this person, he was going, he was spreading this knowledge, this announcement that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling me to pass on to you the message that whoever has iman, he will enter Jannah. He meets Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu says, what is the message? He hears the message. Umar radiallahu anhu says, right, come with me. I'm taking you back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm taking you back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he took the messenger back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he took him back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar radiallahu anhu said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if this message is spread amongst the people, then people will sit back. What did he say? People will sit back. Nabi, the hadith doesn't mean that if you have iman, then your ticket to Jannah is booked and you don't need to do any amal. This is not what the hadith means. The hadith means sooner or later you will enter Jannah. But Umar radiallahu anhu came and he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if this message is spread, then people may misunderstand this message, that they will use this as an excuse to sit back that, oh yes, we have iman. So he was trying to say that, in my humble opinion, this message should not be spread amongst the people. I mean, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this, he heard this message, he accepted this opinion of Umar radiallahu anhu, and he told the messenger to stop. So this idea that I have iman, so it is enough, this is a deceit from shaitan. Shaitan does this to rob you of your iman. Shaitan does this why? To rob you of your iman. How? Because whilst iman will take a person into Jannah, iman gets stronger and iman gets weaker. And when iman gets weaker, it can be destroyed very easily. And iman gets stronger with obedience and amal. And it gets weaker with disobedience and sins. You know, nowadays we hear so many incidents that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, so-and-so has lost the iman. In this place, so-and-so youngster has lost the iman. And usually what do we think? Or what do we hear? That someone came to him. Someone mentioned to him, maybe raised some questions in his mind about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about deen, about the true deen, about Islam. And like this, someone led him off the track. My brothers, remember this. That person whose iman is strong can never be led off track. It is that iman which has already become weak. It is hollow. There is nothing left inside. When doubts are created in this person's mind, then the wave sweeps him away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save our children. And save our generations until the day of judgment. So, iman with obedience is needed. And we should not rest until disobedience is extinguished from our life. Then we are safe. Then we are safe. So, I was mentioning that in one moment, a mu'min, what is the value of time? The first example we gave of the value of time is that in a few moments, a person who is a non-Muslim can step on the path to Jannah. The second example of the value of time, a person who has iman, but he does not have obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a few moments, he can reflect on his life. He can repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In his heart and mind, he can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enough is enough. I am staying away from this sin now. I have made an intention to try to stay away from this sin. This action of repentance, which does not require a word, which requires nothing but a few moments, wipes away whatever sins are in this person's book of evil deeds. This is the value of time. So, we need to make the most of our time. Really, this is a topic which applies to us for every day of our life. If a person makes value in his time, making his time valuable, the purpose, and he achieves this purpose, then he does not need any other piece of advice. Because that person who makes his time valuable will make sure no time of his is spent in the disobedience of Allah. Because this is the worst avenue for time. He will make sure no time is wasted in fruitless activities. So any part of his day, he will be busy in something which is useful for this world or useful for the hereafter. That person is ready for the angel of death to meet him so he can go to Jannah. If a person takes this one advice to heart, that make your time valuable, make sure that your time is not spent in the disobedience of Allah or in activities which are useless, which are futile, which are of no benefit, then this advice is enough for a person. So this advice is something which applies to us in every day of our life, but more so in the holidays. And here we are talking about the time we have available. There is so much of our time which is locked away. Locked away meaning this 6 to 8 hours are going into sleep. Or maybe I should correct myself. Nowadays it is 8 to 12 hours. 8 to 12 hours are locked away in sleep. So much time is locked away in eating. This is time we don't need to worry about. The rest of the time is what we need to worry about. But those people who really understood the value of time, what was their condition? Their condition was such that they would minimize their eating, their drinking, their sleeping, to spend that leftover time in good activities. It is mentioned about a pious saint of the past that someone saw him, that he was having barley, he was dipping barley into water and then drinking it. He was placing barley into water and drinking it. So they asked him that, what are you doing? What is the reason for this? So he said that before I used to have a proper meal. But then once it occurs to me, and I placed some barley in water, I drank it, and I counted how much time I have saved. And I realized that I can recite Subhanallah so many times in the saved time. So ever since that day, I have stopped having proper meals. And for every meal, this is my meal, so that I can spend the time that is saved in tasbih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require you to do this. That time which is spent in necessities, it is perfectly permissible and it is an avenue. In fact, if a person does it with a good intention that I am eating because it is the command of Allah to look after my body, he will be rewarded. But these were the people who understood the value of time. Shaykh al-Hadith al-Mana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he has mentioned that when he used to teach in the madrasa in Saharanpur, the Darul Ulum, that there was a student who had a very unique habit. Every day the food was delivered to his room, curry and salan and roti. So he used to say to the person who used to bring the food, that take the salan, take the curry and leave the roti. Why did he say that? Because to eat salan and roti, to eat curry and roti together, a person needs both hands. But roti on its own, he can eat with one hand. So the student used to send the curry away, and he used to eat that roti, and at the same time he used to study, that carry on gaining knowledge. So these were the people who understood the true value of time. They went beyond what is necessary. And these are the people, when we go into the hereafter, we will look at them and we will think that they were the intelligent ones. They were the people who knew what they were doing. They were the people who in the world people might have thought, this guy is a madman. What type of meal is this? But they knew what they were doing. So let us also make the most of our time. Let us value our time. There is a very famous hadith which I always quote on this topic. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَيْسَ يَتَحَسَّرُ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا عَلَى سَاعَةٍ مَرَّتْ بِهِمْ لَمْ يُذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. That the people of Jannah, who are we talking about? The people of Jannah. Every description of Jannah which has been mentioned in the Quran and the Hadith, that Jannah has this, Jannah has palaces, Jannah has fruits, Jannah has this, Jannah has that, is just there to give us encouragement, to incline us towards Jannah. Otherwise, no description can do justice to the reality of Jannah. No description can do justice to the reality of Jannah. So we are talking about the people of Jannah, after they have entered Jannah. And in Jannah, there is no regret, there is no grief, there is no sadness. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is saying that the people of Jannah, at the back of their mind, they will have one regret. It will not be in, this regret will not destroy the pleasure. But they will have one regret. What will this regret be? Ala sa'atin marrat bihim. This regret will be on that moment which passed by them. In the world, لَمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِيهِ. They did not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this moment. They did not do something for the hereafter in this moment. These are the people of Jannah we are talking about, not the people of Jahannam. If the people of Jannah will have this regret, then you can imagine how much regret the people of Jahannam will be drowned in. They will be busy saying, رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا فَإِنْ عُدْنَا فَإِنَّا ظَالِمُونَ. That, oh Allah, return us, take us back to the world, give us another chance, give us more time. And the answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be, time is up. The time that was available for you has passed. So, let us make the most of our time. This is an extremely valuable commodity, and it is a commodity which none of us know how much we have left of. When that is the case, then every person's intellect will tell him that I need to make the most of it. So especially in these holidays, we have extra free time. We need to take this advice to heart. And for that, the first thing we need to do is plan where our time is going to be used. Make a timetable. And look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has very beautifully given us an example of how beneficial a timetable is. Practically, what is that example? That example is a five times salah. Add up how many rakats there. Just the farz is about 20 rakats or so. The farz and the witr. Never mind the sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair muakkada. If you and I were told that this is how many rakats you have to pray in a day, it is up to you when you need to pray them. I am not fixing the times for you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, you must fix the times, you can pray whatever you want. Then I don't know about you, but I will say that I would struggle. We would think I will pray later, and then so many days would go by where we would not be able to finish the amount. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed times for us throughout the day. And through the barakah of that, with a little bit of effort, this comes under control. And we can pray this 20 plus rakats every day, for years, for decades, without missing one salah. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala practically showing us the barakah of a timetable. And giving us a message that just like I have given you for salah, I have made a timetable, you make a timetable for your entire life. In your 24 hours, what will you be doing? As the famous saying goes in English, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. If you have time where you haven't planned anything, shaitan will make you do what he has planned for you. You plan something or shaitan will make you do what he has planned for you. So plan your time. And make every person, I cannot make anyone's timetable for anyone. Why? Because every person's circumstances are different. Every person's ability is different. I may feel that yes, I can recite the Quran for half an hour continuously. And someone else, Ismail bhai, may feel that no, I can recite the Quran for 1 hour continuously. Every person needs to make his own timetable. And all he needs to make sure in the timetable is, number one, there is no disobedience of Allah planned. This is the worst thing. No mu'min can possibly plan the disobedience of Allah. And secondly, the aim should be to remove every futile activity. But I say, if you cannot remove futile activities, at least bring them under control. Bring them under control. That not, I will go on my phone, open-ended, no. Okay, I will go on this gadget, I will sit with my friend, I will relax, in other words. But it will be controlled. I will do so for half an hour. This is the slot. And thereafter, I will busy myself in this good activity. And nor am I saying that spend 24 hours in the masjid. No. Fill your time with good activities, useful worldly activities and useful dini activities. Look at what you need to achieve. That this is beneficial for me to do from a worldly point of view. This is beneficial for me to carry out from a dini point of view. Okay, let me timetable them. When am I going to do them? Not I will wake up as and when. Whether Zuhar is missed, whether Zuhar is not missed, whether it is 12 o'clock, whether it is 1 o'clock. No, this is the time I will wake up. And thereafter I will do this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. What time is Maghrib, sir? 13. We'll just make a dua for 1 minute. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى أو الله سبحانه وتعالى forgive our sins أو الله تعالى give us the tawfiq to spend each and every moment of our life in your obedience. O Allah, give us the tawfiq to stay away from the disobedience of Allah in every moment of our life. O Allah, those of us who are ill, cure them. Those from amongst us who have passed away, forgive them. Those from amongst us who are in any problem whatsoever, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help them. O Allah, those who are worried about the financial future, about the jobs, make ease for them. O Allah, those who have any adversity upon them, those who are worried about court cases, those who are worried about exams, those who are worried about any other problem, create ease in the problem. Create ease for them. O Allah, the suffering which so many of the ummah is going through, O Allah, alleviate it from them. O Allah, whilst they are going through this suffering, give them the tawfiq to carry out sabr. Give them the tawfiq to understand that every calamity is from you. O Allah, give us the tawfiq to use our whole life wisely, and especially those moments where the angel of death is going to meet us. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا رب.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا